everyone. I'm Parishi Kanuga, and I'm this year's LAUSD student board member. I'm also a senior at Cleveland Charter High School.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jaden Stewart, a senior at North Hollywood High School and the inaugural Student Empowerment Unit student spokesperson. And we will be your hosts for this podcast.
And I am Salak Mian, the middle school correspondent, and I am an eighth grader at Porter Ranch Community School.
Welcome to the second episode of Education Empowered. Today, we will cover a very important topic that is affecting students like us, both in LA Unified and across the United States. Mental health is a huge issue. It affects all aspects of our lives, especially our ability to learn and achieve academic success, not to mention enjoy our school experience. We know that there have been questions on this topic, and we hope to help answer these questions during today's episode. You guys, sometimes I feel so overwhelmed and I just don't know what to do. There's times where I want to talk to someone, but I just don't want them to know that I don't have it together. Especially these days with college applications, it's so hard to find time to really just de-stress.
And I'm younger than both of you guys, and sometimes I feel like I'm expected to act like an adult or take on responsibilities that stress me out, kind of sometimes.
It's really hard. And sometimes adults think that being a student is easy. The stress of homework, chores, social life, peer pressure, body image, and just being a normal teenager really gets to me, and I'm sure it gets to a lot of students. That's why it's so important to cultivate a supportive school community.
Yeah, that's right, Parishi. You know, whenever I feel stressed, I really love to go for walks and runs, read a good book, or spend some time with friends. So what do you guys do to manage your stress?
You know, I really like meditating because I think it really clears my mind, along with just focusing on the present moment. If something's really just running through my head, I like to really center myself in what's happening right now. I also really like to read, like you said, and just interact with nature.
Something that I like to do to calm down is just play some video games with my friends and kind of just forget everything that's been stressing me out lately. I find it important to take mindfulness breaks sometimes, and what that means is to just set aside a few minutes and really think about what's going on, understand everything that's going on around you, and then just feel focused and ready to move on to what you're going to do next. And it's also really calming to just ride my bike outside. And now, to shed a bit more light on this issue, we would like to introduce our guest speaker, Mr. Joel Cisneros, a licensed clinical social worker and the director of school mental health at the LA Unified School District. Mr. Cisneros has dedicated his career advancing the role that mental health and social-emotional support plays in school settings across different sectors of public education in California, and for a short period, in Oregon. A core belief of Mr. Cisneros is that all children and families are resilient and that every child deserves a fair opportunity at academic success. It is through the public school system that he learned English and had enough success to go on to college at California State University, Fullerton, and then earn a master's degree of social work from the USC. Welcome, Mr. Cisneros. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. My name is Joel Cisneros, and I am the director of school mental health with LAUSD. I'm so delighted to see that this topic of mental health is being embraced by the youth of LAUSD and being promoted through this podcast.
Yeah, and it's so great to have you here. So our first question for you is just about defining mental health. So the word mental health is thrown around a lot, and it can have many different meanings and connotations. So I think it would be really helpful to ground our conversation on a common definition. Can you define mental health as relevant to the LA Unified student population?
That's a great question, Parishi. The word mental health is really important because it's really important to define it because there's so many meanings out there, and it's important that we ground ourselves on how mental health affects how we think, feel, and act. Our mental health and wellness, it's really important to establish various goals and making sure that we establish relationships, that we're staying curious and engaged in the world, and by having healthy habits that will nurture our ability to be able to stay connected with those that we love. It is very important to remember that mental health and wellness is something that we're always maintaining and working on, and it's very similar to physical health. So like physical health, it's really important that we maintain it so that whenever we feel sick, we ask for help. So that's what mental health really means.
Yeah, and kind of jumping off that, I think one of the really important things you mentioned is that A crucial part of mental health is feeling like you're connected. And I think during the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of that connection sort of went away. So I think for many individuals, the COVID-19 pandemic exacerbated already existing issues surrounding mental health. So could you speak about this phenomenon in the context of LA Unified specifically, and maybe some ways that LA Unified has been working to address mental health, particularly pertaining to COVID-19?
So Jaden, I think that's important to address because mental health is something that has been the forefront since the pandemic hit. And even before the pandemic, about 1 in 4 children had experienced some challenge with their mental health. So we're certainly worried about what's happening now. And so in order to address that, LAUSD has invested many, many millions of dollars to be able to support the mental health and well-being of all students. So much so that we have psychiatric social workers across various school sites to support the needs of all of the students. In addition to that, it's also really important to understand that we have a lot of other resources at school sites. For example, we have crisis teams that are there to support and support students and all the families and the staff that work at those school sites.
I think that sometimes just talking over issues can help us reach a healthy mental state. And sometimes students might not ask for help because it may be difficult for them to assess how they stand mental health-wise. Are there any signs that we can use to evaluate whether our mental health is healthy or not?
You know, it's really important to think about that it's normal to experience a range of emotions and feelings on any given day, especially if that day has not turned out the way you would have wanted. So take, for example, whether you took a test and you didn't perform the way you would have wanted, or that you had an argument with a friend and it didn't work out the way you would have wanted. All of those examples, it's normal to have a reaction of sadness, of frustration, and anger. However, when those emotions continue beyond a short period of time and really begin to impact your relationships and your ability to take care of yourself and engage in healthy choice making, then that's when we start getting worried. And so we want to make sure that you're able to understand when those emotions are getting in the way and are really impacting your social relationships and the ability you're able to relate with others.
Yeah, so just kind of just following up on that, I'm wondering what students can kind of do individually, kind of reflecting back on the effects that being in quarantine have had, and just kind of understanding like how they can adapt to this new normal that we're kind of facing. Even though it's been a few months since we were on lockdown, I think the effects have still kind of lingered. So what can students do individually to kind of come back from that?
You know, that's important because that is true. A lot has changed. And what can you do individually is something that perhaps I heard at the very beginning. So continue to engage in opportunities to take care of yourself by making sure you're sleeping appropriately, that you're eating healthy, that you're ensuring that you're maintaining whatever structures and goals that you had in place, engaging in practices that promote mindfulness, for example, going outside and exercising, eating healthy. So all of those are strategies that can really help your ability to stay healthy during this period of time.
I think that's great. Kind of going back to some of the structural resources in place to help students with mental health, I think some students may not feel comfortable asking for certain resources with regards to mental health. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about possibly the stigma surrounding mental health issues and how LAUSD is actively working to combat that when it comes to distributing the resources that you just mentioned.
Well, I think it really begins with this podcast, for example. You know, one of the things we have learned that through the pandemic, everyone has now a greater appreciation for mental health and the impact it has on children and adults. So this podcast is phenomenal. So I want to congratulate you on that first and foremost.
Thank you.
In addition to that, it really is leaders such as yourselves at the school sites elevating the work and making sure that the stigma is not there. So for example, there's students at Monroe High School that did this past September a whole suicide prevention and awareness campaign all month long during the month of September. So big shout out to them. In addition, Marshall High School every year is engaged in opportunities to engage around promoting mental health. In addition, right now, Belmont High School, Washington Prep High School, Carson and Crenshaw and many other high schools are engaged in various activities where the youth are elevating the concept of mental health and ensuring that all the students are embracing the help that is needed when required.
What are some behaviors that our friends and peers might exhibit that could maybe signal us that they might need some help or support?
You know, I think it's a really interesting question and good question because there isn't one sole behavior. Oftentimes it's a complex pattern of different things. So for example, to keep it very simple, if there's any sudden change in behaviors of someone that you know, and all of a sudden they're either have more energy, less energy, they're sleeping too much or they're sleeping too little, they find themselves drowsy or falling asleep in school, perhaps they're spending more time alone or they're engaged in behaviors that are risky and destructive. So for example, engaging in smoking or drinking alcohol or in drugs or other types of things that put them at risk. And most concerning is engaging in any sort of self-harm behaviors or expressing thoughts of suicide. That's a really big concern because we want to make sure that in those moments, those students and those peers of yours are able to ask for help. Luckily, we know that when those students don't have to be alone, right? So when a student is in crisis, we want to make sure that that child feels like they can connect with themselves to some sort of support, or they're able to seek support, like, for example, from the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The phone number for that, I want to share it because it's really important. It's 1-800-273-8255. Again, 1-800-273-8255. And that's for any person that's in crisis, and don't be alone during this time.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think sometimes it can be hard for people to ask for help or to go to someone when they're struggling. Like Solet kind of mentioned, if you notice someone who seems to be struggling with mental health, what should you do? How should you approach that situation?
You know, I think the fact that if you are become aware of that and the fact that you're able to do something, that's really the first step. You know, if you see something, say something, I think is the tagline that I want to make sure that people hear today. Because if you see someone that is in need of help, go and seek support from an adult at the school site. Luckily, every school site across LAUSD has a crisis team, and they are trained to help in situations around if a student is expressing suicidal ideation. Most importantly, making sure that you connect and you help that peer of yours to be able to connect and get some help.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to mention that a lot of times if your friend is just displaying a behavior that's a little bit abnormal, like maybe spending a bit more time alone, there could be something that's going wrong and there could be something that's not. So I think it's just really important to have a conversation, and just having open conversations about how you're doing and how your friends are doing, that really creates an atmosphere where you feel like you can really just offer support and have support offered to you. So that's something that I've found really helps me, and I think it would just benefit a lot of students.
So I kind of want to address the audience here. So what Mr. Cisneros previously said, just like if there's one thing that you take away from this podcast, it's that tagline, if you see something, say something, because that can honestly save lives, help a friend out when they really, really need it. And I just find that really important and want to emphasize that.
Yeah, that's really great, Solik. I think one of the hallmarks of a great friendship is being someone that others can depend on. And I think in this way in particular is a really great way to be emblematic of that.
You know, and I think I really appreciate you saying about being a true friend and helping at that moment. You know, when someone might be in crisis, they may push you away, right? And it may be easier for you to say as a friend, well, I don't know, maybe I'm just gonna leave him or her alone, right? But at that point is exactly the point where you might wanna help. So making sure that being a true friend is being with that person through the rough times and the good times.
Yeah. I think kind of going back out a bit again, while recognizing signs of poor mental health is crucial, it's also incredibly vital that individuals take action. So let's use a hypothetical and say that an individual isn't in a position where they can go to an outside resource for help. What are things that we can do on our own really daily? And even to our audience that may not have a broad mental health problem, to improve our mental health and manage our stress in a more ethical way.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned stress, because stress is something that we all experience, right? And it's one way to categorize it is to think of stress in three categories. One is being tolerable. Tolerable stress is good. We're all experiencing stress, and that helps us rise up to the occasion. Now, the next one is really a stress that really impacts your ability to function. And then it's really thinking about, like, you know, if you were in a car accident, and that might be it's a type of stress that perhaps for the moment it may feel difficult, but you're able to weather it. And then thirdly, and most concerning, is toxic stress. Toxic stress is prolonged effects of stress over and over and over. So to your question, like, what can be done in those moments? The biggest protective factor around stress is really having a solid group of relationships, either with your family and or friends, and engaging in activities that can really help you develop patterns and lifelong habits that can help you weather future situations that are stressful and be able to bounce back with resilience.
Yeah, I think that's really important to really just kind of identify what you're kind of experiencing and kind of centering yourself in people around you and just allowing that support to really get you through these times. And I think also individually speaking, it's also important to just be aware of what you're experiencing. So like we talked about checking in with friends earlier, I think it's also important to check in with yourself. And a lot of times, like what happens to me is I might be stressed, but I'm not showing it and I don't really understand that I'm stressed. And I think that pent up stress that's not really being released, I think that can also be pretty dangerous. So it's really important to recognize that. And I think I personally do have an effect on my academic performance when I'm really stressed out. And I think that goes for a lot of students. So I'm wondering, how does a student's mental health typically affect their academic performance and social experience on campus? I know it's different for everyone, but I'm wondering to see if there's like some general signs that we can look at.
Well, certainly being withdrawn is kind of a universal indicator. All of a sudden, when the student starts feeling withdrawn, either skipping school, not participating in assignments that historically they did, I think those are very kind of just universal indicators. And obviously then there's a drop in grades and academic performance. I think also when that student doesn't feel connected to the school site anymore. So all of a sudden, if, again, the social network that had been established is compromised, then that's also of a concern. So if all of a sudden that student isn't engaged with their peers or perhaps engaged in whatever school activities that had been in place in the past, that's of concern as well.
Yeah, so kind of jumping off of that, I think one of the big takeaways I got from what you just said was that one of the most detrimental parts of struggling with mental health is that it really compromises our relationships. So let's say a student is in a position like that. What can they do to better strengthen those relationships coming out of that and looking into the future?
Well, I think the first thing would be asking for help. Because I think if there is a point where, as an individual, you've reached the point where you can't do it alone, is you got to ask for help. And like I said earlier, that made the reference of physical health. You know, when we don't feel well physically, we ask for help and we go to the doctor and we perhaps take some medicine or we perhaps take it a little bit more slowly. We change the way we, you know, are doing things. And the same is true around mental health. So we want to make sure that if that person is feeling under the weather and not feeling well and emotionally is not doing well, that they ask for help. That's the most important thing.
So I know we talked earlier about kind of helping our friends out when we kind of recognize that something might be going wrong. I think to kind of build on that, I'm wondering how we can kind of cultivate a positive atmosphere in our school community in general and make sure that everybody who's in the classroom really feels excited to go to school that day and feels excited to talk to their peers and classmates.
Yeah, school climate and culture are so important, right? Because if we feel like we belong at our school site, we're going to feel happy and want to go there. So it's really kind of important, like working with youth leaders to develop either monthly campaigns or monthly activities that really promote a sense of culture that's positive and welcoming. So for example, in May, I'm going to challenge everyone, all of your listeners, is Mental Health Awareness Month. What will you be doing around Mental Health Awareness Month during the month of May to really promote the sense of welcoming, and it really starts addressing the whole stigma of around mental health.
Yeah, I think that kind of wraps things up very nicely, encouraging students to take action. I think that's one of the overarching goals of this podcast. So we're going to end this segment with a question we ask all our guests. What does student empowerment mean to you?
Well, to me, what it means, it's really about being informed, being an advocate, and engaging in transformation for yourself and for your community and those that you work, those that you're with. Really, I think it's about being educated as well and making sure that you help others that don't have a voice or feel like they don't have a voice to be able to elevate it. So thank you for everything that you do with this podcast. I'm so excited to see and hear how this is going to impact all of our youth leaders across LAUSD.
Thank you. And I think it's really just an impactful way of just kind of connecting students across our district. And thank you so much for just coming on this podcast and not only just enlightening the students who are listening to this, but also just us, because I learned a lot from this today. And I think I'm coming out of this feeling a lot more informed on mental health. So I think you're definitely doing your job well on this podcast.
Thank you
so much. So kind of now transitioning off of the idea of being informed, it's time for one of our favorite segments here on Education Empowered, Fact or Fiction. Salik?
All right. So the first statement that we have here is that mental health is not a real struggle for students.
Now, I think obviously after hearing our entire interview with Mr. Cisneros, we can say that this is a fiction. Mental health is a real struggle for students. And if you're listening to this podcast, I think you would probably agree.
The next statement that we have here is that your mental health can have an impact on your physical health.
So that's actually a fact. Your mental health can impact your physical health. I mean, when I'm really stressed out, I actually notice myself getting a few more pimples and getting a lot of headaches. So I think mental health really does affect how you're doing physically. And when you're more stressed out, you're actually more susceptible to getting sick. So I think that's also something that's important to note.
Our third statement is that mental health problems have nothing to do with being lazy.
That is a fact. There are so many environmental conditions that contribute to your mental state. It's not just how you're feeling in terms of laziness, but it could also deal with like your relationships, like Mr. Cisneros was mentioning, and many other things. Mental health problems have absolutely nothing to do with being lazy.
Another one that we have here is that mental health issues are not treatable.
That is fiction. Mental health issues have so many ways we can address them. Like Mr. Cisneros mentioned, the plethora of resources that exist for students across LA Unified with regards to addressing mental health issues, not to exclude certain things like running or relaxing, like the three of us mentioned. So mental health issues are definitely treatable.
All right. The fifth statement that we have here is 50% of all mental illnesses begin by age 14.
That is a fact. 50% of all mental illnesses begin by age 14. That is a very sad reality, and I think that's why it's so crucial that our education system take the steps necessary to address student mental health and create a climate where students feel comfortable and can learn at their very best level.
Our next statement says, people with mental health problems are more unpredictable than others.
That is a fiction. People who have mental health problems could very well be not unpredictable at all, and people who don't have mental health problems could just really be spontaneous. I think this is really a common stereotype that's spread around, that people with mental health problems might just be more unpredictable, but I think that's a very harmful stereotype, and it's important to really stay informed of what mental health problems truly look like and kind of avoiding these myths that are kind of spread around.
And the last of our statements says, it's important to prioritize your mental health as a student.
Now that is obviously a fact. As a student, our mental health really does affect our performance in school. It affects our interactions with friends, and it really just affects everything that we experience in our day-to-day lives. So if we want to have the best days at school and really just enjoy the best experiences being a student, it's so important to make sure that we are staying mentally healthy. Mental health is a critical issue facing students. As reported by the LA Unified's mental health webpage, 21% of youth aged 13 to 18 have a mental illness that causes significant impairment in their daily life.
That's absolutely right, Preeshi. And in a recent survey of LAUSD students, 88% reported experiencing three or more traumatic events in their lifetime, and 55% of those respondents showed symptoms of PTSD, depression, or anxiety. We here at Education Empowered strongly encourage you as students and listeners to prioritize your mental health. It is our responsibility as a school system to create a community where students are safe and supported. The Education Empowered podcast is brought to you by the Los Angeles Unified School District's Student Empowerment Unit. It is a podcast created by students for students. Our goal is to empower students with information, practical tips, and advice on different topics of relevance to our audience of LA Unified students. During each episode, we will have guest speakers, experts, and other students discuss our various topics.
Thanks for listening. This is Parishi,
Salik,
and Jaden, and for Mr. Cisneros.
And we'll see you next time on Education Empowered.